I would like to read you some questions that we received by email from a dear brother who, he is really awake in studying the world news, the Bible, and seeing the signs of the times and preparing. So I'd like to read you a message that he sent.
Where is he from?
He's an American brother that lives right now in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So he writes, if you were brought up to believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, are you truly saved, since we know that the pre-tribulation rapture is not scriptural?
Yes, you are saved because salvation is not connected to doctrinal perfections. So you can be doctrinally wrong, you can be sincerely wrong, okay, and still be saved. Salvation, you don't acquire salvation because you're doctrinally correct.
Mm-hmm.
Even the disciples were not doctrinally correct. They were, Jesus showed that they were wrong many, many times. So the answer is yes, of course.
But the disciples, when they were faced with the truth, like Jesus revealed to them the truth, they received it right away.
Right.
And that shows they're saved.
That shows they're saved.
Because they received the truth. But if somebody doesn't, if somebody was brought up in ignorance, not knowing the truth about tribulation, about other doctrines, and then somebody tells him the word of God exactly with scriptures, and they rejected, are they saved?
They're still saved.
They can still be saved.
They can still be saved.
Okay, that's interesting. They are saved but deceived.
Deceived, sincerely deceived.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean, even Peter was deceived. You can see either deceived or hypocrites. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul accused Peter of being hypocrites. So, no, of course you can be deceived. The mm-hmm. disciple wanted to call fire from heaven and burn up whole cities.
Yeah.
Of course they can be deceived.
Yeah, in fact, Jesus one time rebuked Peter, calling him Satan.
Yeah, he was deceived.
Wow.
No, deception has nothing to do with salvation. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Otherwise, I wonder how many of us will be saved.
It's true.
Isn't that a relief?
Yes, it is.
Now, nowhere in the Bible you can find that salvation connected to not being deceived.
Yeah, salvation is in Jesus Christ alone.
That's it.
Amen.
That's
Thank it. God.
Amen.
Amen.
Doctrinal perfection is a growth. You grow into doctrinal perfection by studying, by meditating, by learning, by sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, like Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee did,
yeah.
until he became a Christian. But he had a good training from a good teacher, even though he was not a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you pass him to a better teacher, then he jumped, understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, amen. Next.
Another question. If a person becomes a Christian and falls away from the faith, was he truly ever saved? Like it says in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us.
I understand. So the question is, if a person becomes a Christian and falls away,
was he ever truly
was
saved?
Was he truly saved? Well, it's impossible to answer. Every case is different, okay? So in this case, these guys were false prophets, deceivers. These guys were not saved, okay, because they were just false prophets. They were going around deceiving. So, however, if people don't repent and do the first works, in other words, if you're a Christian, then you fall into false doctrines. If you don't repent and do the first works, then it means you were not truly saved to begin with, because you cannot lose true salvation. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So either you are saved in the beginning, then you fall. If you fall into deceit, into false doctrines, etc., sooner or later you'll have to get out. You'll have to repent and come out because you're saved. Of course, Jesus in your heart is going to sooner or later lead you to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But if seems like the Lord never leads you to the truth, and if you fall and you never get up and you die in your deceit, then it probably means you were not saved to begin with. You seemed saved, but you were not saved. In the churches, there's a lot of people in many churches that they seem saved, they seem Christian, they seem good Protestant and good Catholic, this and that. But when they are tested, they fail miserably and they don't recover anymore. I can think of a friend of mine, I knew he fell into bad sin and he hasn't recovered yet. Well, if he was saved, sooner or later, he's into adultery with a married woman and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, this guy, if he's saved, sooner or later, he will have to open his eyes and repent. If he doesn't, if he never did, then he was never saved to
begin with. So that's the guiding star, let's say, that if somebody is saved after he commits the sin, that made him fall away, he would repent, because his heart will always pull him back to God.
Well, not his heart, but Jesus in his heart. His heart is wicked above anything.
But Jesus will speak and call
your
him
heart
back.
Will not bring you back to God. Jesus in your heart will. No man can come unto me except my Father sends him.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot even go get saved. God has to bring us to the point of decision, and then we decide.
All right. And if he never turns back to God, that means he doesn't hear the call that and
means,
he wasn't saved.
It means he was not saved, one. And two, it means he doesn't want to get saved. Maybe he was in church. Maybe he was singing all the songs. Like the Pharisees in the synagogue persecuting Jesus. They were singing all the songs, praying all the right prayers, following all the ritual, but they just didn't want Jesus. And so you can go to any religion, whether it's Judaism or whether it's Christianity, and still not be saved, all right, if you don't truly give your heart to Jesus 100%.
Mm-hmm. Amen, yes.
Okay, but an easy way to know if somebody's saved, when you confront them with the true doctrine, with the truth, they usually receive it.
Yes.
Sometimes they're so brainwashed into some religion that they reject even that truth, but because of brainwashing, because their carnal brain is brainwashed. But sooner or later, they'll wake up.
Yes.
All right.
Now, the next question is about the apostasy that we see today. In 2 Thessalonians 2:10, it says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." We are seeing a great apostasy at present, like never seen before. And it seems that the two biggest ones, like Joel Osteen and Kenneth Copeland, they all believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. And then we repeat, "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." So, does it apply what it says in verse 11? "For this cause, God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie." For example, Kenneth Copeland says that we're all Catholics. Osteen's wife says that we do not worship God for God. We worship God for ourselves. So I wonder if people that believe in the pre-tribulation rapture are the ones that the strong delusion is for, like we just read in verse 11. I believe the Antichrist will come on the scene in the same way that Jesus is supposed to return. Because it says, if possible, even the elect will be deceived. So I think this is going to fool the whole world. It does say in Revelation that everyone whose name is not in the book of the Lamb will wander after the beast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, as far as these guys, Copeland and Osteen and a bunch of others, well, you know, it's not for me to say they're saved or not. It's like it's impossible to be the judge. I mean, only God knows who's saved. Somebody can be saved and deceived, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And even dying is deceit.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean... One thing is to be deceived doctrinally, like pre-tribulation rapture. It's just a matter of knowledge. Another thing is to forsake Jesus as the Savior and die in such a conviction.
Okay,
that means you were not saved.
Okay. Let's say that they don't forsake Jesus. Those big names we just quoted. They love Jesus. They serve Jesus in their way. But you're saying that this fact that they are deceived is not as bad. Well, they are leaders of big churches. They are deceiving millions of people into the wrong way. If the pre-tribulation rapture is their doctrine, then nobody prepares for the end time. Nobody cares about going evangelizing others because we'll be raptured anyway. We're not going to go through the hardships. So this deceit is harming a lot of believers.
Yeah, it's true. However, salvation, you can be saved and deceived. Salvation, it's forever. You cannot lose it. It's only when somebody doesn't believe in Jesus as the Savior, or he comes to the point that he denies that. That means he dies, and that means he never had the salvation.
Yeah, we're not discussing their salvation.
So
but
the difference here between knowledge, knowledge in your mind about knowing all the doctrines, like Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen, they are deceived in their knowledge.
Yes.
But as far as not believing in Jesus, that is not for me to judge. I don't know if this guy believes in Jesus or not.
No, the question is that you think this strong delusion is sent against people like them who believe in pre-tribulation rapture?
But strong delusion is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It talks that it's sent only to the people who open not their heart to receive the love of the truth, and that is Jesus Christ, salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So if people didn't receive the love of the truth, which is Jesus, salvation, then they are condemned and damned and judged. Okay, because they rejected Jesus. Or they received some ridiculous religious Jesus that doesn't save, like some of the dead churches are preaching today.
So the strong delusion is not the pre-tribulation rapture?
Absolutely not.
Because that's what we're talking
pre-tribulation
about.
Rapture is not this. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
No. That's what this dear brother means.
He's asking.
No, it's not that. No, God sends a strong delusion in the sense, if you study carefully 2 Thessalonians 2, it says clear, because they open not their heart to receive the love of the truth, which is Jesus. For this cause, God sends a strong delusion. Mm-hmm. If you want to reword that, make it more clear, you can say, God allows the devil to deceive them and even send them to hell. Why? They rejected Jesus. Mm-hmm. There is not a sin that you go to hell for once you have Jesus.
Mm-hmm, I see.
Nobody is in hell because they are sinners. The Antichrist is not going to be, the devil, they will not be in hell because they are sinners, mm-hmm. but because they rejected Jesus Christ.
But there are so many strong delusions in the Christian world. Like I heard lately, Christians believe in reincarnation. They say, and they're fascinated by reincarnation, they say that those who believe in Jesus, they're going to be saved and go to heaven. Those who don't believe in Jesus, they're going to be reincarnated.
Okay, well, that's just another lie. Like, these guys are New Age, Hindus. Of course, there is no proof for reincarnation. Why should they believe that? There are so many proofs that Jesus is the truth, all the miracles he did, the prophecy fulfilled. If you don't believe in Jesus after the message of love, after his sacrifice, after he shed the blood from the Calvary to show that he was telling the truth, after the miracle to back up his message, you go to believe some reincarnation, a ridiculous doctrine, which without any proof, nobody ever came back to say, I was reincarnated. So that you really want to be deceived.
I'm just saying there are more and more strong delusions, and that's what the brother is saying, that when the Antichrist will come, he's going to come the same way that Jesus is supposed to return, and that's why he's going to deceive so many.
Yeah, pre-tribulation rapture is not the strong delusion. The strong delusion, if you read the 2 Thessalonians 2, it is anything somebody believes in the place of the Savior.
Ah, okay.
Like if somebody says, no, I don't want Jesus because I want to be a Muslim, that's your strong delusion.
Okay.
If somebody says, no, I'm into pornography, I don't want to forsake it. If I become a Christian, to forsake pornography, adultery, whatever, drugs, and I don't want to forsake this stuff, so I don't become a Christian. So your strong delusion is pornography, mm-hmm. drugs, adultery, whatever.
I understand that.
Okay. Strong delusion is whatever lies that prevents you, stops you from receiving the love of the truth, which is Jesus.
I understand.
So it can be anything. There are millions of strong delusions. Anything that stops you from salvation, it's your particular strong delusion.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to receive the Jesus of the gospel, of the Bible, because you want the Jesus of the Holy Mary, of this church, or the other church, of this religion, that's your strong delusion. Okay? So receive the love of the truth, and the love of the truth is the truth of Jesus, is the gospel, is the salvation. You reject that, whatever you believe, it's your strong delusion. It doesn't have to be pre-tribulation rapture, which personally, I don't think a pre-tribulation rapture has nothing to do with not being saved. That's just a false doctrine, just like saying that God is a Protestant. God is the God's church is the evangelical church, the Protestant church, the Catholic church, my church or your church. Jesus doesn't belong to my church or my religion, which I invented. I hope I belong to him. By God's grace, I think I do.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. May God help us to study the word so we can know the truth, so we don't become deceived also by these delusions and false doctrines and false teachings. In
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen. In Jesus' name. You can be sitting in a church and they can be preaching, somebody is preaching Jesus to you and you're still not saved. You know that? Because
it's true.
Why?
Yes.
You can be sitting in my church and be a Judas. You can be sitting in Jesus' church and be a Judas, okay? Judas will stay there for 3.5 years and say, yeah, okay, yeah. 3.5 years. See, it doesn't matter what church you go, beloved. It doesn't matter if you're a Penta, Baptist, Catholic, Protestant, Evangelical. It doesn't matter. The difference is giving a heart to Jesus. To stop and say, Jesus, my church, they're preaching this and this, but do you know me? Do I know you? Do you know me? Do we know each other? I've seen your visiting card. It's called the Bible. Pretty good visiting card. But do I know you? And most of all, do you know me? And in other words, do we know each other?
Amen.
So it doesn't matter what church you go. It can be the best church in the world. But you know what? If you don't stop, sometime, somewhere, somehow, and say, Jesus, I want to make sure. Like it says, going to go to 2 Corinthians 13:5. If you don't stop, I was saying, and you say, Jesus, I want to make sure, double check, that you know me. Did you find that?
Yes. Read it. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?
He's talking to a church here, to the Corinthians. Say, check yourself, test yourself, double check. Verify if you are in the faith, if you are saved. I know you are Corinthians. I know you are a church. I know your church operates in spiritual gifts, miracle and healing, fine. But are you all saved? Do you all really know Jesus? Does he know you? You are truly saved? Examine yourself.
It's true.
Are you, what are you, Pentecostal, Baptist, Catholic? Examine yourself.
Amen.
God doesn't care about what kind of sheepfold you go.
Amen.
I mean, your sheepfold, my sheepfold are good for nothing. Okay, what it counts here is the Jesus sheepfold. If you belong under my shepherding and pastoring supervision, it counts nothing unless you have Jesus in your heart. Because I cannot save you. I can preach salvation. But then it's up to you if you open the door of your heart. Or if some people just open the door of their mind, receive in their mind the salvation, in their mind they're born again, in their mind they confess Jesus, but it never enters their heart. How do we know that? The works don't follow.
The fruits.
Because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, or the abundance of the truthfulness in the soul, or the salvation in our souls, our body functions and works. If all we are able to do is just to drag ourselves in a church bench and collapse and just raise our hands a few times, say hallelujah, how do we know we are saved? So that's not salvation. Salvation is not screaming hallelujah or repeating like parrots, okay, Jesus come into my heart, blah, blah. Salvation is acts, deeds.
Amen.
Okay, James chapter 2. Show me your faith without works. And now with my works I show you my faith. So, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord,
thank you, Lord,
that everyone listening, Lord, will verify their salvation, will check if they're saved. Double check the lamp full of oil or empty.
Jesus,
triple check. By how? By giving our heart to you, Jesus. No, it doesn't matter if we belong to the super-duper best church in the world. It doesn't matter.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus, salvation is not in the church. It's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
I love you.